Over the past decade, advances in horizontal drilling have made rich deposits of natural gas in North Texas accessible and economical to produce. Natural gas is cleaner burning than coal and oil, a plus for our environment. However, the production requires significant amounts of water, and the Department of Energy, as well as citizens, have raised concerns about chemicals used in the process and the potential for air and water pollution. I'm Shelley Koffler. Many area communities across the Barnett Shale have wrangled over how to create a safe environment for gas drilling within their city limits. This week, it's Dallas's turn as the council tackles recommendations from a task force. Task force member David Bigler, who is also chairman of South Cross Energy, is in our studios to lend his perspective. Also joining us is District 3 council member Scott Griggs, who represents portions of Dallas where gas companies want to drill. Libby Willis is here with a view from Fort Worth, which has tackled many of the contentious gas drilling issues for the past 5 years. Libby is president of the Fort Worth League of Neighborhood Associations. And welcome to all of you. We're going to open our phone lines in just a few minutes later in this half hour. But first, I wanted to ask each of you a basic question, and that is, do you think it's possible to safely drill for natural gas within our city limits? Let me start first with you, Mr. Bigler. You're on the task force here in Dallas. Do you think we can develop safe recommendations, safe standards for gas drilling in urban areas?
Yes, I'm convinced we can and can do it. Not just safely, but in a manner that's not unacceptably intrusive on the community.
Well, we're going to come back and talk a little bit about what is on the table in Dallas in just a few moments. Libby Willis, you've been through this with Fort Worth for 5, 6, 7 years now. I know you've had great concerns, great questions about the way gas drilling has proceeded in the city of Fort Worth. Do you believe it's possible to have safe drilling within an urban environment?
Shelley, you know, that's really a question that we think we're continuing to try to answer. And if I had to think of an analogy of the what our experience has been like, it's sort of been like trying to train to become a brain surgeon, learn how to do brain surgery while you're doing brain surgery. We think there are a lot of questions that continue to need to be answered before you could probably completely answer a question like that. At the same time, our challenge has been that a lot of our residents wanted to get their royalties. They wanted to drill. And so we have always been pro-drilling, but pro-responsible, environmentally responsible drilling. And so that's what causes us to always have to try to seek that middle ground. How do you do it? And we're still trying to answer the question.
Councilmember Griggs, same question, because I know you have raised a lot of issues, concerns that you have about the way this whole process is proceeding now in Dallas. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's safe? Can we create a safe environment?
Well, the burden of proof is on the industry. And so far we've seen the industry hasn't been very transparent with what chemicals they're using. And additionally, the industry has pushed back against the regulatory environment necessary from everything from excluding fracking fluid from the Clean Water Act, Safe Drinking Water Act, and the Clean Air Act. So we can't even begin to address that question until the industry comes to the table and is willing to be transparent and stops pushing back so much on public safety and the regulatory environment necessary.
We know we're talking mostly about what's happening at the city level today, but obviously there are issues that permeate all levels of government. We have the state of Texas. In the last legislative session, they took on certain issues that would set standards for gas drilling or create an environment for drilling within our communities. And then we have the federal government, as you mentioned, who's also grappling with this. So we are sort of working on this as we pursue the drilling in our communities as well. As we said Wednesday, the task force recommendations that you worked on, Mr. Bigler, here in Dallas will go before Dallas City Council members, Councilmember Griggs and others, for a briefing. This is going to be the first full sort of vetting of what you came up with. What was the guiding principle, or what were the guiding principles that your group used as you came together to promulgate some recommendations? And I know that you looked at issues that other cities have already had to grapple with.
Yes, just to address the last one first, we used extensively first Dallas's existing ordinances, but also all the other communities in North Texas who've dealt with this fully, Fort Worth, South Lake, Grand Prairie, Arlington, and compared all of those ordinances. We also actually used expert testimony from regulatory authorities from the federal government, EPA and et cetera, Corps of Engineers, et cetera, but also then at the state level, the Railroad Commission and others at the state level. So, and then heard from a variety of representatives from communities throughout the country, actually, from Colorado to wherever, in terms of their dealing with specific issues, particularly from a community standpoint or a, what I would call community representative standpoint about their concerns, and dealt with the plethora of issues surrounding fracking. It's not a simple issue, as you know.
And you came up with a set of recommendations that the council will look at. Councilman Griggs, you're concerned that not everything is there that you would like to have in those recommendations.
Oh,
what's
yeah.
missing?
Some of the big concerns would be drilling in the floodplain. Other concerns would be our parks, drilling in our parks as well as the setbacks. The current ordinance says 1,000 feet away from residences, from schools, and that can be reduced to 500 feet. And that's just too close. So looking at those issues, looking at the compressor stations, where the pipes will go, the task force did a great job and gives us a strong starting point, but there's still issues to be addressed.
I want to talk a little more fully about the park property issue and the floodplain in just a minute, but you're bringing up some issues that I'm looking at Libby. She's smiling because, Libby, you guys went through this in Fort Worth 2, 3, 4 years ago. You're still dealing with it, the issue of compressor stations, where to place them, whether to allow deep disposal wells within the city limits, how far you should set back the drilling sites, the well pads from schools, from homes, from businesses. Tell me where we are in Fort Worth, and what are you happy with what you've come up with there? Do you feel like you found the happy medium that other cities can learn from?
You know, our organization has been advocating some changes to our gas drilling ordinance since 2008, and we think that those changes are still warranted. We believe that because we've sort of been out there on the front line and the guinea pigs, if you will, we've really had a trial by fire. And it's difficult when you're sort of out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean already on the Queen Mary and trying to either you have to decide, are you going to turn around and go back or are you going to keep going forward to England? Well, we're keeping on going forward. But we have so many things that could be done in a better way. And I can't stress enough that we really didn't see, we didn't have a whole picture of what the impacts could be. So we knew that the technological advances were there. We knew that there were some monetary benefits, but nobody really looked at the social impacts and the impacts on neighborhoods. So if you live a half a mile from a well site or a proposed multi-compressor site or multiple pipelines at a certain diameter and pressure, you just don't necessarily know what the impacts are going to be. And that's a little scary when you are looking at the health, safety, and welfare of the public in residential neighborhoods.
So if the information isn't in, if we really don't have all the reports on what's safe, what isn't, whether benzene in the air is going to cause a long-term problem, how can you set a setback? How can you set a limitation if you don't know, if you don't have the full picture?
Well, that's one of the reasons why we've done a couple things. We got a major federal grant to do a pipeline information study so that the public could learn more about pipeline safety. We commissioned some experts in the field to do a report for the independent school district so we could look at the proximity of emissions near schools, school children, and those sorts of things. You have to do, when you're on our situation, you just have to sort of study at the same time you've got the regulations in front of you and then come forward with recommendations on how you can make those regulations stronger to protect the health, safety, and welfare of the public. We continue to believe, with the technology changing every day and getting better every day, we believe that it is possible to get the technology to a point where it is as unobtrusive as possible. You know, do the drilling, people can get their royalties, but we don't have to have the negative impact. But we're not there yet, and we need to be in a much different place than we are today with changes to our ordinance.
I think you have in Fort Worth a setback of 600 feet, is it?
It is.
From homes, from residences, from the edge of the well pad.
Protected
uses. And I know
uses.
That gets very complicated. You can measure these things a number of different ways. It strikes me, Councilman Griggs, that the city of Dallas and Mr. Bigler, these recommendations in Dallas would be just a little tighter, a little stricter. Was that, Mr. Bigler, done by design?
Oh, it was definitely done by design. The task force recommends a 1,000-foot setback, not just from the wellhead, but from the edge of the pad site. And it's also important it's 1,000 feet to the property line of any protected use. Protected use, the councilman mentioned schools or residences, are protected at 1,000 feet. The 500 feet is quoted a lot, but I don't think it's quoted in the proper context very often. You asked for the guiding principles, and for me it came down to two or three things, and I think it touches on the setback very directly. Libby mentioned earlier, and it's something I believe very strongly, and it's why I agreed to serve on the task force, because I have no stake in the industry whatsoever.
Your company's a pipeline company, not a drilling company.
Yeah, and my pipeline is in South Texas and has no effect, is not affected by this, what happens in Dallas at all. But I do happen to know something about the industry. But Libby mentioned the balance, and for me, government is always confronted with balancing interests. And in this instance, regulating drilling are basically stripping property rights away from mineral owners, whether they be private mineral owners or the citizens of Dallas's mineral ownership. The citizens of Dallas, their mineral ownership can decide not to lease and take it away from themselves whenever they want. But when you take mineral rights away from property owners, there should be a basis for doing that. As it relates to setback, the issue really becomes emissions and noise and then other inconveniences such as lighting. But by far, air emissions is the issue that comes up more often than not. And we heard numerous different testimonies regarding emissions. I mean, you can find emission studies that say 500 feet is plenty. You can find some people who will run a study and say, I trace something at 1,000 feet or 3,000 feet. But the fact of the matter is that the bulk of the data comes down squarely somewhere in that range of Fort Worth's ordinance and Dallas's ordinance on the extreme of any detectable emissions.
Let's bring in Councilmember Griggs here, and we'll spend more time with you if we have to go to a break here in a second. But this issue of 500 feet, mm-hmm. 1,000 feet, how do you put that into perspective?
Well, right now with horizontal drilling, these formations can be accessed 5,000 feet away. So why do you need to be 1,000 feet away from a school or from a home? Because this is a heavy industrial process, and if you can be 5,000 feet away, there's no reason to be 1,000 feet, and there's certainly no reason to be 500 feet away. Because on these sites, another risk is, you know, spills, which we haven't talked about. Fracking fluid or other chemicals can be spilled. And right now there's no reporting requirement to the Texas Commission or the TCEQ on the amount that's spilled. It's not documented, whether it be a drop, whether it be 50 gallons, whether it be a couple hundred million gallons. And there's no right now process for going in and having a formal cleanup process. And so there are real concerns about being close.
And do you think the task force has adequately addressed those issues?
No, I think those are still one issue, putting the 1,000 feet we'll have to discuss. And it should be bigger, because if you look at other cities, Flower Mound and Southlake, they revised their ordinances not long ago. They went 1,500 feet and 1,200 feet away.
Well, we're going to pick up right where we left off here when we come back from a break. And we're going to also take your calls. When we return, we're going to continue our discussion of urban gas drilling and the responsibilities communities have for ensuring its safety. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment. We're talking about urban gas drilling in North Texas and responsibilities that communities have for ensuring that it is done safely. I'm Shelley Koffler, and in the studio with me as guests today are David Bigler. He has served on the Dallas Gas Drilling Task Force. He's also CEO of South Cross Energy. Also, Councilman Scott Griggs from District 3. There are areas in his district where the gas companies want to drill. And Libby Willis, president of the Fort Worth League of Neighborhood Associations. She's been very active in this conversation in her community. Councilman Griggs, let's go back to you, because we were talking mm-hmm. about concerns that you have about the task force recommendations. and concerns you have and that have been brought to you by some of the people who live within your district. You are worried that maybe the 500 feet or the 1,000 feet setbacks perhaps are a little arbitrary. You don't know that they're going to be sufficient.
That's right. Yeah, they may not be sufficient. And if you're trying to access minerals underneath someone's home, the horizontal drilling technology right now can means that you can drill 5,000 feet away. So why do you have to be 500 feet away? Because it's such a heavy industrial process using many known carcinogens in the process. What if there's a spill? And right now we don't have a way for tracking, monitoring these spills and reporting them.
I would ask David Bigler to weigh in there. Why not drill from a mile away or 2 miles away outside the city limits and use the technology to stay outside the city?
I think the more important answer is, Councilman, that's just not accurate. There's a wealth of federal law on reporting spills. And in fact, the penalties for not supporting or reporting of a spill are severe. So I don't know where you've gotten the information.
I would disagree with that. The Halliburton loophole in 2005 that was passed removed the EPA's protection and removed the EPA investigating fracking fluid.
But that's different from a surface spill of, as you keep describing, a toxic chemical. But to the specific question, on the 1,000 feet and the 500 feet, I think the other guiding principle that we haven't gotten to that's missed in this discussion most often is the fact that this is a recommendation for a special use permit process under city government. This isn't a recommendation to write a set of permits to drill. And the importance of that is that there is no way to guide a future council for its decision 10 or 20 years from now as to the facts it faces. If we trust city councils today basically to write this ordinance and to grant special use permit processes, why can't we trust a council to make a valid judgment in the future? And the reason for that, and that clarification is important, is that that governs the 1,000 feet and the 500 feet. Well, Councilman Griggs is right. You can deviate wells, and typically it's more like 2,000 or 3,000, but it doesn't matter. The point is that what happens if the only available site or the site that is least intrusive to the community is within 700 feet, 900 feet of a property line of a residence that happens to be the only use within a mile? And that is, for the community 10 years from now, that is the best possible place to put that. Why would we say the council today should restrict that council from doing it? In fact, the task force went one further step and said that future council, that vote should require a two-thirds majority, not a simple majority. And as anybody in Dallas knows, special use permit processes are difficult in Dallas.
I want to talk about the special use permits a little more extensively. I know it's been an issue in Fort Worth as well, but want to remind our listeners, all of you out there, that we will be taking your calls. The number to call in if you'd like to join the conversation is 1-800-933-5372, 1-800-933-5372. You can also email a question to kera news.org. We're talking about urban gas drilling. Dallas is going to be looking at its task force recommendations this Wednesday. And the latest part of this conversation has been the use of a special use permit. Now, let's just briefly identify and talk about what a special use permit is. Libby, why don't you take that? Because special use permit means you have a rule that says you're supposed to drill 1,000 feet away, but in some instances, you can get closer.
Yeah. In Fort Worth, you've used the variance process. And, some people say, well, if we're going to have a set distance in the ordinance, why do we have a variance process? I mean, if we're going to set it at 600 feet or 1,000 feet or whatever it is, that's what it should be. We shouldn't have, particularly when operators can go and pay people to support variances and to sign on for variances. It's sort of, pay-to-play kind of thing. And some people think that's not really the way to go with that. I would come back and between the two colleagues here and say that Sometimes some of these distances really are arbitrary because there is science to back up, and particularly on the emissions. In our report last year, where we had some actual computer modeling done to measure how far some of these emissions can go from these drill sites, and we were looking at proximity to schools and school populations, we found some of them could go as far as a mile or half a mile. So, you know, 1,000 feet's not going to help you very much if you've got something that's coming that close to school children that you really don't want them breathing when they're out on the playground playing. So, again, it's a question of looking at the whole picture. And it's very difficult to set meaningful legislation at any level when you don't feel like you have all the science and all the data and documentation to back up what you want to do. The other thing I would say is, you know, these ordinances at the local level need to be based on what the local citizens want. And if clean air is important to them, if not living particularly close to a drill site is important to them, whatever those citizens want, then those desires should be reflected in their ordinances because it's their community that they have to live in.
I want to go to our phones now. We have a number of listeners who are waiting to ask a few questions. The number is 1-800-933-5372. If you'd like to ask a question of our panel about gas drilling in urban areas, and you can also email a question to keranews.org. And our first call comes from Sharon in Allen. Sharon, thank you for being so patient and waiting. What is your call for our panelists or your question?
Thank you. I don't have a question. I'd like to add some more information. I'm Sharon Wilson. I work with Earthworks Oil and Gas Accountability Project, and I lived on top of the Barnett Shale for 16 years. My organization has collected decades of information about health impacts. And what we know, as I told the Dallas Drilling Task Force, is that we don't have the science to know what setback is protective. Any setback that you enact right now is purely arbitrary. Part of the reason we don't have the science is because industry blocks our attempts to get that science with non-disclosure agreements. So if a landowner proves contamination, the only way that they can get away is to, with a settlement with industry, is to sign a non-disclosure agreement where all their records are forever sealed and we can't have access to that. Now, I did do an audit of the TCEQ response to the complaints in the community in the Barnett Shale, and we found that 99% of the time, no matter how profound the complaint is and no matter how profound the health complaint is, the TCEQ finds no violations 99%.
Thank you, Sharon. Thank you. I know you've been very active in the community that you live in, and I do remember, I think you testified at a recent EPA hearing, so I want to thank you for your perspective. But basically what you're saying is you don't believe that we have enough data. And so let me ask Mr. Bigler, what do we do about this? If we still have evolving science, what can we tell the citizens about safety? How can we make citizens feel secure about gas drilling in their communities?
You know, first, I think it needs to be made clear that the task force did hear from Earthworks and listened to their comments. I think the second is science will forever be evolving about everything. We're still trying to figure out gravity centuries after Isaac Newton. But the fact of the matter is that in the task force opinion, the science had evolved enough to establish a reasonable balance between property rights and emissions. It is always possible to detect chemicals. The question is, at what length are you detecting a chemical in a concentration that's a health issue? And that distinction is missed quite often in discussion. You know, you can detect methane from a herd of cows a mile away, but do you outlaw cows? It's the fact of the matter is the issue needs to be, are you detecting it in a manner that the EPA considers a health risk? And that became the guiding principle with a lot of reliance on, in the task force circumstance, studies done by what we consider the most unbiased sources, the Mickey Leland study on communities, etc.
I want to go now to another call from Susan in Dallas. Susan, thank you for joining us. And I think you want to make a point about the number of wells in Fort Worth, which I think is over 2,000. It's a different scenario than we have here in Dallas.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the main one. I have several points after listening to the discussion here. One thing to point out is our Texas legislature is not addressing this issue at all. We've had one bill that, you know, was passed about it. We've had multiple bills that have gone through the Texas legislature over the last couple of years that have just failed to make it out of the committee, and that was due to the industry not wishing to have those come out. I can't go into those right now, but one of the main points I'm calling about is leasing in this ordinance. I don't know that that has been actually addressed in the ordinance, and we know that that is a major issue because Dallas and Fort Worth are in very different places right now.
What is your question, if I might
ask,
Susan?
Well, the question is, I had several questions, but I'll try to, the main one I want to know is, was leasing addressed in the Dallas ordinance? And I don't think that it was.
Okay, I'm guessing, thank you for your question, I'm guessing that leasing is actually a separate issue, is it not?
It is.
Go ahead,
it's addressed,
Scott.
As a separate issue. The proposed ordinance, what it's working on, is to put down the zoning and the permitting criteria for having gas drilling.
And the leasing issue, that became extremely contentious in Fort Worth and other communities, didn't it, Libby Willis?
It did. And, it was a situation where suddenly one day we had landmen showing up at the doors in neighborhoods and, presenting leases for people to sign. And, of course, they wanted those signatures sooner rather than later. That's why we did meeting upon meeting upon meeting to inform the public about what really was in those leases. And you began to see not only neighborhoods banding together and creating their own committees to get the best provisions in those leases, but you saw neighborhoods banding together with other neighborhoods to create alliances of neighborhoods. So we got savvier as we went along. But it really is the situation where, you don't sell something unless you know what it's worth. So you shouldn't probably sign something unless you really, truly understand what's in it. And we have found that we need probably some pro bono legal advice to explain to people in neighborhoods just exactly what's in the city's ordinance and what's in these leases. So education to the public is really critical in this stage.
Councilman Griggs, where are we with the leasing situation in Dallas?
Well, right now we don't know what private leases are out there. The city doesn't. We do know the leases that the city of Dallas has entered into, which now we've got maps and showing those, and they're quite extensive. But back to this leasing, it's one important point that both our first caller brought up, Sharon, and the second caller, Susan, is these non-disclosure requirements that are often put in the leases by the drilling companies. And those should really be...
Explain what those are.
That's where if anything happens, they're not allowed to disclose it. They have to enter into a settlement with the drilling company.
Like a spill.
Spill or something. And so that keeps us from getting the data. Because this is going to be a recurring theme throughout this. Is if this is so safe, as the industry says, why are they so scared of transparency and some measure of regulation with the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, the Safe Drinking Act?
We have another caller who wants to talk about leases or has a question about leases. Cardi, you have a question about leasing. Tell us what that is.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks for taking my call. I live in District 3, and I know Scott Rick is there. Question I have is a simple one. There is no neighborhood association, and if individual owner don't want to sign the lease with the gas company, what assurance I have that they will not disturb any land under my property.
Okay, thanks very much. So this caller wants to know, maybe Mr. Bigler can help us with this. If he doesn't want to sign the lease, can he prevent the drilling on his property?
If you're not comfortable signing the lease, don't sign the lease. And no one has a right to enter the subsurface under your property or to enter you within a unit unless you do sign that lease. So, yes, you're in control of your destiny and can choose not to participate.
I want to bring up an issue or go further with an issue that I know, Councilman Griggs, you're very concerned about that we mentioned at the outset of the show, and that is drilling under park property. Mm-hmm.
You became aware of maps, or you had access to maps beginning last week that shows that the city of Dallas would allow for drilling under park property and in the floodplain, and that concerns you. And I think there's difference of opinion on our panel here. So let's talk about that for a few minutes before we go to another break.
Yeah, well, park property is treated so special by the citizens of Dallas and even the city charter. Our park department's a separate department that's not run by our city manager. It's run by a director and the president of the park board. That's how significant the property is. And all park property has one of two things in common in the city of Dallas. Either is a park or it has the potential to be a park. Once you go in with a drill site, big pad site, you frack an area, you have forever taken away its ability to be a park. You're not going to go back and put playground equipment there. You're not going to build a pool there. So that's why I think it's a very slippery slope to start to say, well, this parkland we don't like as much as the other. We can drill there. If we're going to drill in parkland, we should remove that land from the park system formally because it's never going to come back as parkland. We're not going to build a swimming pool there. We're not going to build a soccer field there. We're not going to put playground equipment there. And so that's the essential question here.
You oppose doing this?
Yes. I think it should be the land should be removed from the park system.
And Mr. Bigler, your task force looked at this. Why did you determine that this was an acceptable thing to do?
Well, with due respect to the councilman, to make the statements, I'm not sure you've looked at every piece of parkland that exists because the fact is not all parkland that exists within the park department has the potential to be either a passive or an active park. I mean, parkland is either in active use, it's in passive use, such as nature trails, or it's land that is never intended to be used in the future. In fact, if I want to donate land for the benefit of the parks in Dallas that's in an industrial area, I can do so, and it can be in the middle of an industrial area, and I can't imagine us building a swimming pool, a playground, swing sets, or a soccer field in the middle of the industrial area.
This is clearly one of the hot-button issues before the Dallas Council that the task force report addresses. We're going to continue with this conversation, take more of your calls right after this break. Our guests are David Bigler. He is on the Dallas Gas Drilling Task Force. He's also CEO of South Cross Energy. Scott Griggs, District 3 Council member who represents West Dallas and Oak Cliff. And Libby Willis is here. She's president of the Fort Worth League of Neighborhood Associations. We're going to take more of your calls in just a moment. But first, I want to go back to where we left off before the break, and that is the whole question of whether it is acceptable to allow gas drilling beneath park property. That is a recommendation from the task force that it be allowed in some circumstances. And I want to talk about what we're looking at here in Dallas and whether that's something the citizens are going to be comfortable with. Mr. Bigler, why don't you start?
I think it's important to understand exactly what the task force recommended. They recommended that it be allowed under some very restrictive covenants. One, that it would only be permitted with a 3/4 vote of the council, which clearly would require a significant hurdle to overcome. But the other is people will say, well, you should only drill in industrial areas. The requirement by the task force was that it be in an industrial area. I've looked at the maps. I actually looked at the parkland ownership. For example, we have under park property land that's the strip that's the effluent out of a power plant. Now, I again come back to I do see that. You know, if you have a 200-foot strip that's an effluent out of a power plant, that's not a soccer field or a pool, as the councilman said. And my point, you ask finally, the guiding principle from the task force, I can't speak for everybody, but I can tell you what swayed me was that if you have a property that would benefit the park land of the city in an industrial area that would never be used for a park, it's dormant and could generate funds to be used by that park, then let a future council make that determination as opposed to us today out of emotion or whatever without the facts of where the drill site would be and say that that could never happen no matter the benefit for the community at large.
Well, Councilman Griggs, is there sufficient in your mind? And I think the answer
here. I think Mr. Bigler misses my point, was that the land needs to be removed from the park system. Because there's land not only can be as a pool, a swing set, it can also be natural land as part of our park system.
Open
our
space.
Wetlands, our blackland prairie, those spots have value. And they have value even though we may not put a trail through them. By allowing nature a place to live in our city, that has singular value. And that's something I think Mr. Bigler in the industry misses. So I'm saying if you are going to pick one of those sites, remove it from the park system and have that discussion.
Drilling under park property, does this create a potential revenue source for the city? Is that part of the discussion here or not so much?
Any drilling could potentially create a revenue, but we also have to look at the loss to that park property if it's been set aside, if it's been set aside to be a natural habitat, if it's been set aside to be trails, if it's set aside to potentially be soccer fields. We lose that when we take the money. And that's something that I go back to that's so special about our park property. All of our park property either is or has the potential to be one of these uses, a natural preserve, swing sets, a swimming pool. And that's something the industry doesn't see as much value in our blackland prairie, in our wetlands, that I do. So if we want to drill on those, we need to have a serious discussion and first remove it from our park system.
In Fort Worth, Libby Willis, did you consider and do you consider potential leases under park property?
Drilling occurs under park property. The minerals are harvested, if you will, but we do not have pad sites in our mm-hmm. parks. We have seen other
things. That would be allowed in Dallas, correct? Mm-hmm. Pad sites in the parks?
Yeah. We have seen other things happen as a result of gas drilling infrastructure in our parks, like valve stations, and those are a whole other discussion. I would point out that George Mitchell, who is a petroleum engineer and, you know, the father of fracking, if you will, with Mitchell Resources, he wrote in February a piece for the Houston Chronicle, and it was wonderful. And basically what he said was that drilling has to be, as he said, fiercely sensitive to nearby publics, ecosystems, habitats, and protected resources. So he seems to think that industry will do better the more sensitive they are to issues like parkland.
I want to take another call now from Mark in Dallas. I think Mark's question is also about drilling under park property. Mark, what is your question?
Well, it's actually not so much drilling under park property. Mr. Bigler made the statement to the gentleman that called a few minutes ago that if he did not want drilling under his property, it would not be done. That is patently false, and Mr. Bigler knows it. Under the rules in Texas, Rule 37, as well as forced pooling, anybody who does not want to sign a lease can be mandated to lose their mineral rights or be paid whatever industry wants to pay them rather than any kind of a negotiated payment. But the minerals will be harvested underneath their property. They're certainly not going to make that drill bit turn 90 degrees and then turn another 90
okay.
degrees and another 90 degrees and another 90 degrees to bypass somebody's private property.
Okay,
and
Mark, thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks very much. Have you had a personal situation? Are you an attorney?
No, I'm not, but I am very actively involved in this issue in Dallas.
Okay, well, thank you for your comment. And I guess, Mr. Bigler, any response to that?
He's right. My comment was there had to be a process set up to do that. No one can take his minerals without a forced pooling process. And he's right. What I said is it couldn't occur without it.
The problem with the process in Texas, as it's run by the Railroad Commission with the forced pooling, is sometimes people don't get letters to know that the hearing is going to happen in Austin, or they can't attend the hearing, or they can't afford an attorney to go down and represent them if they can't go. So forced pooling is a real issue, and again, I go back to the public education. There could be a whole program about that, Rule 37 and forced pooling. People need to understand what that's about as they're looking at the whole issue of leasing and what it means to own urban property in a city like Dallas and have mineral rights.
We have a number of callers who are waiting to speak to our guests. Let's go now to Angie in Arlington. Angie, what is your question?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I actually have more of a comment, and the comment is that my two children attend a school that is downhill from a pad site who is not ready to go yet. It hasn't started the drilling. But it's less than 1,000 feet, and they play on that playground every day, and they're in the soil, in the dirt, playing every day. And to know that, you know, these are potentially harmful chemicals that are going to be in the rainwater, in the runoff, disturbs me. And it's also very offensive for, I think his name is Mr. Bigler, to compare this to cows and gravity. I mean, we know for a fact that benzene, for just one of the chemicals, is very toxic and carcinogen. So I am just, you know, I don't feel like we're being protected. I think that, you know, oil and gas interests are being held in higher regard than.
Okay, Angie, thank you. Thanks very much. And Angie lives in Arlington, so she's working or dealing with the ordinances, as it is there. She mentioned benzene, Libby Willis. Benzene has been a significant issue in Fort Worth. The TCEQ has been in your community doing air testing. And I think, if I remember correctly, there was no short-term exposure of concern, but when they looked long-term, there was some concern about being outside of what were acceptable parameters for benzene, which is a carcinogen.
That's right. And, you know, the question is always how much air monitoring is going on and when, because the $1 million study that the city of Fort Worth paid for was a snapshot, and it was last year. So we can't say that the results from that are true today, because today is a different day. And so we have argued that we need ongoing monitoring, and we need independent monitoring of that. We really need more than reports being read in Austin by the TCEQ. Now, they've committed to provide some more air quality monitors in the whole 23 counties of the Barnett Shale, but we're talking about just our city. We're not going to get that much more in the way of air monitoring, and we need it. That's one thing that the ERG study said that the city paid for, that neighborhoods, particularly close to drilling sites, need air quality monitors. We need to know what's in the air.
These monitors that you have in Fort Worth are very expensive. I think they're $200,000 for the initial purchase. What is in this task force recommendation with respect to air monitoring and protective measures for the citizens in Dallas?
Yeah, I think it's very important to read the recommendations of the task force, because they're extensive recommendation. There was extensive discussion on monitoring in terms of the science behind it, the requirements, et cetera, the cost of it. There's required monitoring during the operating phase of the company, and then there's of the operations, and then there's monitoring supported by the community afterwards. I mean, there is a
Who pays for it?
You know, I can't recall on an ongoing basis after that who pays for it. I know we heard a lot of testimony from Arlington, for example. The industry pays for the Arlington monitoring system. But there's a lot of debate about the extent of that. I do know during the operating phase, the operators would pay for the monitoring.
Okay. Let's take another call now from Robert in Fort Worth. And Robert, I think, has a comment or question about the use of water in the fracking process. Hi, Robert.
Hi. Listen, I live in North Fort Worth. One of those, a while ago, they set up one of those wells. It's not there anymore, but now they got that conduit down there with all those valves and whatnot. When that thing was up, it smelled. It was terrible. And I have asthma, and I was worried about the whole thing. But it continues to baffle me how the Barnett Shale, all the energy, all the drillers are advertising or have these PSAs on TV, how they're so sensitive to the environment. When these drillers, when they drill, they use subsurface well water, the subsurface aquifer water. According to what I understand, these drilling, they use thousands of gallons.
Do you have a question, Robert?
Yeah. I'd like to have these people tell the listeners out there that these drillers are not using and not jeopardizing the clean water supply that we have under Tarrant County and Dallas County and this area in North Texas.
Thank you, Robert. Let's talk about water, because this is a significant issue, I think, that's unresolved in many communities. And Councilman Griggs, it is to some extent still unresolved, I think, here in Dallas as the city begins looking at these task force recommendations.
It is. Very often they buy water from the cities or from a water source. And in fact, City of Dallas water has been purchased by drillers to drill in other cities. So it's a big issue, because once the water is mixed with sand and it's mixed with carcinogen chemicals, and this mix has to be taken somewhere and disposed of. it's almost like radioactive waste, the way it has to be treated, and taken to an injection well somewhere and then disposed of that way. And now we're seeing, too, with the disposal, there's now a link between earthquakes and these high-pressure injection wells, which is very troubling.
Would we allow the deep water injection wells within the city limits? Has Dallas grappled with that issue yet?
The task force recommendations allow saltwater injection wells, but they do not allow fracking injection wells.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the task force recommended no injection wells within the city of Dallas.
That's been a significant issue in a number of other communities.
But saltwater was, yes.
Well, no water injection wells as a result of this operating practice. Within the city of Dallas was recommended by the task force.
That's correct. No fracking. Once the fracking fluid can't be injected in the city.
And we've just been through that within the last 6 weeks. And the council has made the decision in Fort Worth that we will not have disposal wells inside the city limits of Fort Worth for various reasons. One thing that came up during our discussion on this was perhaps there ought to be, because so much that's millions and millions of gallons that's used in the fracking process and then millions that have to be disposed of, and a lot of that doesn't go back to the hydrologic cycle. So there was a suggestion that perhaps that water should cost more because it's not coming back into the cycle. So.
We have about 2 minutes left, and go ahead,
just
Mr. Bigler, and then we'll sort of summarize a lot of what's been said here.
Just real quick so that everyone can understand that the task force did hear from Dallas Water Utilities, which really is charged with managing the water within Dallas. And to be clear for people, we use surface water, not subsurface water. Basically, the way the task force left it, they were convinced that Dallas Water Utilities does a very good job of managing our water usage, and they already have existing processes and procedures to manage the use of water and to regulate it, whether it's in drought conditions or to deny an industrial use if it's viewed that it's too great a burden on the rest of the community. We heard the percentages of water use, and we came down with the recommendation that basically that entire process, including their continued regulation of other industrial uses that don't re-enter the water supply,
okay.
that continue.
We have just about a minute and a half left, and in the time left, I'd like to just ask each of you, as Dallas, we have a minute left. Scott Griggs, tell me briefly what you hope comes from the task force briefings that we're going to get started with on Wednesday.
A starting place for the discussions, and the discussion needs to be putting lives and quality of life first, above all else.
And Libby Willis from Fort Worth, what recommendation would you give the citizens of Dallas as they continue this process?
Figure out what's most important to you about what you like about your city and how you're going to protect it, and how does gas drilling fit into that, and look as best you can at the entire picture. Look at the balance sheet, all the costs and all the benefits, and be sure you're seeing all of those to make a decision on what ought to be in your ordinance.
Okay, well, great. I want to thank all of our panelists for providing their perspectives today on urban gas drilling, David Bigler, Libby Willis, and also Scott Griggs. And I'm Shelley Koffler. Thank you for joining us.